It's kind of interesting for me as a pastor of a Christian church to realize that most Christians today are celebrating Christmas, right? Most people who profess to be Christians are celebrating Christmas. And as I kind of look at the day, it's interesting because there's so many things that through the years I've read about Christmas and the day of Christmas and researched about Christmas, things that are fables, right? There is no such person as Santa Claus who lives at the North Pole and delivers presents. I'm sorry, Scott. Scott just found out for the first time. It only took him 42 years to realize that. But there's things that we talked about a few weeks ago that are just simply fables. Fables, the mixing of things that are true with things that are false. You know, the Christmas tree, where did that come from? Wreaths, ornaments, all the things that might go into the celebration of Christmas and why it gets propped up and built up in this world. But you know, as you kind of look through, you don't want to reject the importance of some of the messages that come out, because even Paul said that Christ being preached, even if they preach Him for strife, let Him preach. Because the name of Jesus Christ is still the true name. Now the shame is when you start to mix what is fable with what is true. Because some people would say that Christ didn't come. Some people would say that Christ is as much a fable as Santa Claus. And that's why I get off the bus with this. Because there is one true God, and there is one true Savior, Jesus Christ. And His coming is important. Now, I'm quite sure, like 99% sure, that it wasn't on December 25th. That's not true either. It's interesting when you look back. December 25th didn't really start to come up in the Christian church until about the 4th century. The first recorded writings, about 360 AD. You realize that in the 3rd century, they said maybe it was in May. There was also people that said, well, maybe it was in March. They were trying to figure it out. They wanted to celebrate because celebrating births, especially the births of God, was very important in many cultures. Egyptian cultures, Greek cultures, Roman cultures. This was an important thing. December 25th being a day to celebrate the unconquerable sun god. Or at least around this time. Because the sun is being born. It's going to get longer. Every day now, the sun is going to grow in terms of how much time we see it here in the Northern Hemisphere. But I want you to think about something of truth today that would be associated with this celebration. And that is this, that Jesus Christ came. That Jesus Christ was born. A miraculous thing. I want you to think about God and miraculous births. God is kind of into miraculous births. He kind of likes the idea of somebody being barren and unable to have kids and doing the miracle of taking somebody who's barren and helping them have children. Now, I want to play a little game just to make sure everybody's awake with me here today. Corey and Stephanie, you are eliminated from competition, because they've already played this game with me. So I'm sorry. No answers from you two. And if you heard Jack, you're out too, buddy, because that's right. You guessed them last night. Who can think of a miraculous birth in the Bible? Who had one? Either the person who had the birth? Bill. Sarah? Hannah had Samuel, right? Sarah had Isaac. Brad? Mary, right? Of course, had Jesus. Who else? Dagmar. Elizabeth, right? She had John the Baptist. She was barren and had a child. Who else? Samson's mom, right? She wanted to have a child. And so Samson was a miracle birth. And it said, okay, well, you're going to have a child, but he's going to be a Nazarite from his birth. So even you have to stop, you know, drinking wine and the fruit of the vine. You need to basically live, because this baby from his womb is going to be Nazarite. Who else? Yes. Yes, Rachel, right? Rachel, do you remember the voice she had? Oh, who knows the voice she had? Joseph. Joseph was a miracle baby. Who else? Well, I'll give you a little clue because I don't see hands going up. Who are the fathers of the faithful? Yes, Ethan. Isaac. Yes, see? Out of the mouths of young, here it comes, all the truth. All of the fathers of faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their wives all had miracle births. They were all barren. So Jacob and Esau came by miracle as well. Abraham, Sarah, right? Have Isaac, right? Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob and Esau, Jacob, Rachel, Joseph. Miracle babies. The father of the faithful had miracle babies. One more that I know of. Anybody else know who it is? It was a special gift. You might remember Elisha, who's being taken care of by the woman who was barren. And she set up a room for him. And he said, what would you want? And so she came and he said, what could he do? And asked the servant. And he said, servant said, she has no child. She's barren. So the gift that Elisha gave was that she would have a baby. It was a miracle birth because she was barren. She could not have children, and God made it so. What's interesting about that is not only was the birth a miracle from someone who was barren, but Elisha later had to resurrect the boy from the dead. Kind of a cool story. Kind of some symbolism there. But I want us to focus on this. We had 7 miraculous births recorded in the Bible, the 8th being Jesus, who was not born to a woman who was barren, but who was born to a woman who was virgin. 8 miraculous births. I want you to turn with me to John 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 tells us who this Jesus was. Because unlike the other 7 that were born to a woman, the other 7 who were given birth with earthly fathers, this one Jesus, who was born of a virgin, had a father who is God. And it says that in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. This one we know as Jesus is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, who came. As it says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Notice what it says here in verse 10. He was in the world, speaking of Jesus, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Okay? I want you to think about this. Jesus coming into the world, His birth into the world, His life coming into the world in the flesh, gives you and me, as it says here, the power, the right, or the authority. As it says in verse 12, He gave them the right to become the children of God. When you think about Jesus coming to the world, realize that the whole reason we have the right to be called the children of God today is because He came into the world. By Him being born into the world, we can be born again. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We can be born of God because Jesus was born of flesh. Because He came to give us the right that as we were born of flesh, so would He. Him, Jesus, being born in the flesh, gives you and me the right, the authority, the power to be born of God. See, if that message alone sinks into your heart, if you really grasp the gravity and depth of that, that alone is a message for today. Jesus being born gives you the right, power, and authority to be born again. To be born of God. Because He came and redeemed us with incorruptible things. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. What begins in Jesus Christ is a regeneration of who we are. To be born of God. Notice this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17 says, if you call on the Father, which means what? You are His child. You've received from Christ the right to be called the child of God. If you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Don't you just love the way that reads? We're just here for a little stay. This life is just a little stay. It's like a vacation. We're pilgrims and sojourners and strangers here. This isn't where we live. We're just here for a stay. Knowing, verse 18, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Christ was manifest for you. Who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Remember what He says in John 1? He said He gave the right to be the children of God to those who believe on Him. It is our belief in Him, our belief in His coming, our belief that Jesus was God, the Word who was with God in the beginning, the Word who was God, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. You realize that if the sacrifice would be of a man, at best it could only cover the man. But this was the sacrifice of the Creator, the One who made all things. He came into the world which He made. He has the power to cleanse us from all sin. He has the power to redeem us from all things so that we can have this new life. So we believe in Him, and we believe in God who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since, He says, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word. We are born again. We are born new by the Word of God being in us. The Word of God which we obey. There's a transformation. There's a regeneration that is taking place in us. That we are born again of the will of God. That we obey His truth. That we love one another. That we realize that we've been renewed by God, by who God is. Let's turn to 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Verse 18. We know that whatever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So Peter is saying, look, when you now have been redeemed by God, he says, don't walk in the aimless conduct that you did before. Conduct yourselves with fear in the time that you have. Why? Because you've been born of God. By belief in Christ, through the Word of God, you are being made a new creation. A new creature in Christ Jesus, prepared for good works. So he says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Because we are new, because we are born of God, we do not live in the same way as we have before. We who were born of flesh, who were born of blood, who were born, as Jesus said, of the will of man, now being born of God, we conduct ourselves in a new way of life. You've been born into royalty by belief. That's why I said, if you really grasp the depth of this, of what God is saying, that He gave you the right to become the child of God through belief. Do you see yourself as part of the royal family? Do you see yourself as one of the children of God? Do you see yourself as being the brother or sister of Jesus? I'm not just talking about titles. I'm not just talking about pretend. Do you see yourself as being the sibling, the brother or sister of Jesus? Do you see yourself being born into a family that is going to live and rule and reign forever and ever and ever without end? Do you realize the calling that you have because Jesus Christ came into this world? Because Jesus Christ was born of a woman, you can be born of God. Your faith in Him, your faith in His Word, you become born again by an incorruptible seed. See, when we receive the Holy Spirit, what we're receiving is a guarantee of what is to be. But we become the children of God by receiving of His Spirit when we believe. We begin to live by the Word of God, putting away sin and living in righteousness when we believe. By the power of Christ within us, we overcome the world. This is the victory by which we overcome the world, our faith. Because we believe, we see who we are in Christ. We see who we are before our true Father, our Heavenly Father, and no longer are we a part of this world, but we are strangers and pilgrims looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're to be new. We're to be born by this Word, by this way of truth. Turn over with me to 1 John 4. Just back the page here. 1 John 4 and verse 7. He says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Again, how are you born of God? You're born of that will which is to love. God's perfect will is defined by love, by care, by outgoing concern, by looking out for the interests of others to do what is best for another. And He says, when you have done this, when you love, you are born of God. You're a new creation. Isn't it amazing that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life, is telling us the same thing, that if we would respond to His love with love, we are born of Him. Because what separates those who are born or the seed of God from those who are born or the seed of man or of the devil is the way they live, the righteousness that comes from being of God. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. In verse 10, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that you love one another." This is it. This is the message. This is what changes us and transforms us into new creatures. The message we hear from the beginning that says, this is how the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. You were born to be the God. Notice in 1 John 2 now, in verse 28. "And now, little children,
abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Your new birth. So how do you conduct yourself now in this life? With fear, with trembling, but with love. It is the love of God that makes the difference, that demonstrates the difference in our hearts, in our minds, that we have been born of God. You see, John contrasts Cain and Abel. Cain, who went out and killed his righteous brother Abel, because Abel's works were righteous and Cain's were not. And the world works the same way. Will you give yourself in righteousness for God? Will you accept your birthright? The birthright that Jesus came to give you to be the child of God. You know, one of my favorite movie stories or book stories is the story of royalty. You know, where somebody is born of a royal family and they're not supposed to, you know, be, but somehow they're born. They are the heir to the throne. They're the one that's supposed to be. And they have to change their whole lives. What's that one called, Brown? Say that. Princess Diaries, right? Is that it? Is that the one? Yeah, Princess Diaries, right? You have the girl who's just growing up. She's a normal high school kid. She's kind of geeky. Then she learns she's royalty. And because she's royalty, because she finds that she's actually the daughter of royalty and supposed to take her place in a royal family, she has to begin to change her life. If she's going to take on the responsibility of her birthright, she has to begin to become a new person. She mentally is born again into a new way of conducting herself, in a new way of thinking, in a new way of acting because of who she is. And you realize that as we come to accept our birthright in Christ, we are to see ourselves as part of the family of God. Doesn't that change everything when you really accept the fact that you are God's child, and as you live and walk on this earth, you are representing God? You're an ambassador for Christ. As Paul writes in Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. We realize that is where God wanted us to be born from the day He made us. He wanted us to be born from above. He wants us to be a part of His kingdom, and we are here waiting for this return. So John writes here, he says in verse 28 again in 1 John 2, little children, abide in Him, and when He appears, we may have confidence, because Christ is coming again. Now, as important as Jesus' first coming to this earth was, think about how important His second coming is. Returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to establish His government upon this earth, whose rule and reign will never end. You were born to be a part of that. You who have been called by God to accept your position in the family of God as one born from above, born from God, to show this way of love, of care, of concern, of righteousness that emanates completely from God. Do you see your life that way? Jesus knew who He was. Even when He was a boy, 12 years old, getting left behind after His family had left celebrating the feast in Jerusalem, there He was saying, "Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business?" He knew who He was. He knew the role He was to play on the earth to be the Savior of mankind. Do you appreciate the role that you are here to play on this earth as one of the children of God? So often we can compare ourselves to the world or compare ourselves to other people of the flesh, but you have been born of God if you so believe in Jesus Christ. If you accept the truth of Jesus Christ, if you love one another, and you obey, purifying your hearts, purifying your souls, as Peter says. Our lives are to be different. Our lives are to be separate. Our lives are to shine and reflect the light of Christ in the things that we do on this earth. We are not to be conformed to this world, nor to the ways of this world, but to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That is why you were born, to be conformed to the image of God. In the face of all pressure and persuasion to live like the world, God is forming us in the image of His Son. And it is with this pressure that we are being refined and that the truth will be brought out of us. It is through the pressure of a dark world that the light will come out. And the light will shine brightest. It will be the most brilliant where there is the most darkness. The light of Christ is such a pure and true light that when we look and we see, we can't help but either come to the light or run from it. But God has said, come to the light, for in it is the power and authority and the right to be the children of God. It's why you're here. It's why you were made. Not just to be born of a man or a woman, but to be born of God. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1 and 13. Paul writing, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Just another verse just to really think about and meditate. Who are you? Who am I? You are one who has been delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Again, Philippians 3:20, your citizenship is in heaven. This is where you live. That is your home. And you are waiting for the King of heaven to come to this earth to establish His kingdom on this earth. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. So you are born again by the Word of God, by an incorruptible seed. But you are yet to be born again. For Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn to be raised up, to be resurrected. There is a birth that's coming. As much as Jesus came in the will of the flesh to be born of the Virgin Mary, so He was born again from the dead to be the glorified Son of the living God. Friends, His coming gives you the right to be born of God by the will of God, by the love of God, by obeying God's Word. But that birth is just the beginning to a birth that is greater than any mankind has imagined. To be born of God, to be raised from the dead, to have your standing in the presence of God forever. Hallelujah! Do you realize what you are here for? Do you realize what your stay is about? You were made to be raised up, to be the child of God forever. So Peter says, so conduct yourselves in fear all your life. This is it, guys. You weren't made to be a part of the world. You weren't made to fit in with the world. You were made to stand out in the love of God. That in the face of darkness, you stand for truth. That in the face of fable, you say, here it is. Here is the way. Walk you in it. And everything in your life should be reflecting the glory of God, to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. This is the passion of life. This is what we were singing about, consuming fire, building me again and again and again. The reason we are here, to continue to bring forth the message of the good news that you, my friends, were born to be the children of God. You were meant to follow Jesus Christ in being born again from the dead to a new and living life. Notice in Revelation chapter 1. I tell you, as we sink our teeth into this, if we really wrap our hearts and our minds around this truth, it changes everything. The truth of God is better than the deceitfulness of the world. The world can have facades. It can have its own beauty. It can have its own ways. But you realize it's all a facade to misdirect and misguide from the truth, which is why Christ came, which is why He made you and me. Verse 4 of Revelation chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. He was born from the dead. And the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and made us kings and priests to His God and Father, and to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The firstborn from the dead. We are to be born again. Now in our lives, but there is a rebirth that is coming. Notice in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Do you believe it? Do you believe that? You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You were born for this reason. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Drop down to verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, is the firstborn among many brethren. Your life, the reason you are here, is to follow in Christ's steps, being born of a woman, being born of God, being born from the dead. He paved the way to show us how we enter in to the kingdom, how we fulfill the reason that God made us, His purpose and plan. Verse 30, moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Who wants to glorify you? God made you to glorify you, to have you be a person, a child in His family and in His kingdom forever, for all time. Now turn with me back to the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And verse 3, Jesus answered Nicodemus, here a Pharisee who had come to Jesus. Jesus said to him, Verse 3 of John 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, or born from above, or born from God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? How is it that he is born again? Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Are you spirit yet? You see, the Holy Spirit being given to us was a guarantee of what is to come. But there is a birth that will take place again in the Spirit. We were born in the flesh now. But the hope is we will be born in the Spirit at the return of Christ. That this flesh will be replaced by a new birth, which is a birth of the Spirit. Now, when Peter talks about being born again, we're talking about the life that God has in us to take us into a walk with God that is a rebirth. We become a new creation when we believe. We become a new creation when we follow, when we obey, when we walk, when we love. We are becoming a new creature. But the work that is being done inside is yet to be manifest in something that will be done outside. You realize what a beautiful thing it is that God made a woman to carry. We have some women who are pregnant here. Carrying and doing a work inside. But what it begins with is not, you could say, viable. Right? If a baby is born after 1 month after conception, it's probably not going to survive in its world. It's not ready yet. But what God is doing in our birth, in our conception, in our coming to God, is He is birthing out in us something yet to be revealed. And all this time as we conduct ourselves before God in fear, in love, in obedience to Him, He is working out in us that which will be birthed in the Spirit. There's something new happening in our lives as we believe and walk with God that is going to come forth when we are born again from the dead. That is the birth we are looking for. That is where we find the new country, the new life, when we are born of the Spirit. So unless we are born both of water and of Spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. You were born of water, you could say, when you came out of the womb. You were born in water. You were born in water when you were baptized. You were born of the will of God. And you will be born of the Spirit when you are raised up from the dead. And as we receive the promised Holy Spirit after we were baptized in water, so is that Spirit the confirmation and guarantee that yes, you will be born of Spirit. You will be born with a new body. You will be born with a new type of existence. One that we look forward to. So verse 7, Jesus says, so do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you can hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I kind of like the stories, the little glimpse that we get in with Jesus after He was resurrected from the dead. Because He kept manifesting Himself in a fleshly way. But He'd be walking with people and sitting down to break bread, whoop, He's gone. Where'd He go? He's like the wind. There 1 minute, gone the next. The disciples are in a room together. Boom, there He is. There's Jesus. How did He get there? He was born of the Spirit again. You remember when He was praying on the night in which He was betrayed? He said, Father, restore me to the glory that I had with you before the world was. His glory. He gave His life to be born again. He gave His life so you and me could be born again. His coming allows us to hear this teaching and to embrace the hope that God has laid before you and me, that we would be born from the Spirit, that we could enter the kingdom of heaven. For he says, again, unless one, verse 3, is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We must be born again now, but we must be born again of the Spirit. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. This is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You're going to have a new body when you're born from the dead. It's not going to be the feeble, weak, corruptible body we have now. God wants us to be born again with a spiritual body. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the dirt. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Born again. A new body, a new life. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn among many brethren. You have been called to be among the many, the ones that God wants to bring forth. The calling of God in our lives is to say, will you be born again? Will you believe in Jesus Christ? Will you lay down your life for Him in this earth as He laid down His life for you? Will you be born of the will of God? That you say, this is why I live. I live for the will of God, to do His will in my life. Because if you are willing to be born of His will and to submit your life to Him, then you are ready to be born again of His Spirit and have everlasting life. Our walk of faith is a regeneration and a rebirth of who we are. For He says in verse 50, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is in heaven. We've been made members of His family through the adoption of the Spirit by the power of God. But the manifestation of that, the reality of that, comes as we are born again and we enter His kingdom by Spirit. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We are waiting to enter. We have the promise. We have the guarantee, but we are waiting to enter His kingdom. So I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And when do we sleep? When we're dead. Dying is sleep. To fall asleep, we wait to be woken. It will happen, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Those who sleep are waiting for a rebirth. Those who sleep in Christ Jesus have a hope of a rebirth at the return of Jesus Christ. And we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? But the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The corruption must put on incorruption. The mortal must put on immortality. Death needs to be swallowed up in victory and life. Sarah was barren. She couldn't have children. Her womb was dead. But by the promise of God, she gave birth to a promised son, Isaac. Rebecca was barren. She could not have children. Her womb was dead. But by the promise of God, he brought forth Jacob. Rachel was barren. Her womb was dead. She could not have children. But by the miracle of God, she brought forth Joseph. God likes the story of taking something that is dead, of taking something that can't produce children, of looking at it the way a man does and saying it cannot bring forth seed, and taking the deadness and taking the corruption and taking the mortal and from it making that which is incorrupt, that which is immortal, that which is full and teeming of life. The miracle of God is to take what isn't, to take what man says can't be done, to look at what is and say, I'll make a miracle in that place. And our lives, friends, are born out of this corruption, out of this sinfulness, out of this wretchedness that is man, where we stand before him and say, I'm poor, I'm miserable, I'm blind, and I'm naked. And he says, yes, now let me make light there. Let me take and make life in you. Will you receive the promise of Christ? Will you receive the Spirit? Will you receive my word and be new? Will you be born of what is incorruptible? That incorruptible word of God. We're changed by this. Everything that we read in this word is to put in us the faith, the hope, and the love of God that we may be his children reflecting his image on this earth. You were made for this. Do you rejoice in why you're here? Do you get it? Do you see it? Do you embrace it? Do you make this your everything in life? God is going to take all the barrenness from you and make it beautiful. A child in his image. It's what he wants to do. And he does it by his own will, his own perfect ways. Jesus came into a world he made, and the world did not receive him. But as many as believed, they received the right to be the children of God. Will you believe in that? Will you accept you are here, not just in a game or in a title or in a facade, but in reality to be the children of God? Will you see through the world to the truth? Will you reject what the world says, and will you accept what God brings to you, the Son of God? Love the fact that Jesus came. And rejoice in the fact that he's coming again. For as we were born of him when we believe in his first coming, so we will be born again when we see him at his second coming. He knows you, he loves you, and his work will be complete. Praise be to God.